As we read God's word this morning and as we hear it revealed, I hope that we can go back in time to what it would be like to be the first hearers of the good news of the resurrection. I invite you to follow along, and if you're following along on your phone or in your own Bible, I encourage you to keep either your phone or your Bible open. Hear the word of God. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.' As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." He is risen. The shock, the grief, the dismay, the unbelief. Bast writes, "What a remarkable day that must have been. The events unusual compared to anything that they had ever encountered. I mean, Jesus had just been crucified days before. The Sabbath was coming, and so his body was thrown into a tomb as if it were nothing, discarded as if it was rubbish. There had been no time to prepare it for burial. But now, a few days had passed, and two who were close to Jesus went to the tomb to prepare his body properly, to put herbs, to wrap it. They couldn't wipe away the injustice of all that had just happened. They couldn't take away the events of the days before. But at least he could be buried properly. But when the woman reached the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. How is that even possible? The stone would have been large, hard to be moved by, let alone a few women. And then there were the guards all around that were there to ensure that the body wouldn't be stolen, who on very fear of the loss of their own life would ensure that nothing happened to the body. They were more than puzzled when the tomb was empty and the body is gone. In fact, they were deeply troubled. They were distressed. And then to picture two angels standing to tell you that he's not there. Can you picture how hard that is to believe? To grasp that somebody died and came back to life? I wonder what he's going to do next. There's three things that I hope you'll remember this morning. The first is that Jesus came to give hope and to encourage the faith of his followers. In Matthew, it says this: Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." In John, it says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" They didn't understand that Jesus had to die and then to rise from the grave. You need to picture it for a moment because I think we dismiss it too quickly. Look at all of this. 2,000 years ago, not knowing what we know, I can see how they were a little overwhelmed. I could see how this was just so hard to take in. How it just didn't make any sense. And yet how Jesus came to Mary, to disciples, to the others, to encourage their faith. To say, it's true. I'm not dead. I'm alive. You can truly live. Everything had been fulfilled. Be encouraged as you tell the next part of the story of faith of what I'm going to do next. This morning, the empty tomb says to you and to me that you and I can have hope. There is hope for the family whose child was missing in Manitoba, who they found, I believe it was yesterday, lying in a creek. There's hope for the people of Brussels. There's hope for the refugee families that are coming to Canada. There is hope for our stress-filled lives. There is hope for the church in North America, which is declining. There is hope because of the resurrected Christ, that whatever we go through, we can be encouraged that the one who died, who rose again, will not leave us or forsake us, will not abandon us, but will always be with us. How they needed to hear that. Picture, as we heard earlier in the drama, how Mary approaches the gardener and with one simple word, Mary, everything changed. The grief, the fear, the not understanding. Rabboni, teacher. She recognized that the Messiah was alive. I wonder what he's going to do next. Enter our text in Cleopas. They're walking along the road. They don't get it yet, but there they meet Jesus. And Jesus is giving them hope for the journey. It's not until they get to the house of Cleopas that they really understand it. And Jesus did what he did in the upper room before he died. He took bread after he gave thanks. He broke it and he handed it out. And it was there that they recognized who it was. And so Jesus, time and time again, to Mary, to Cleopas, to the disciples, continues to reveal himself for 40 days to encourage them on the journey. How does our Lord, our risen Lord, Walk with us day by day, moment by moment, to give us hope for the journey. It's the first thing I want you to remember, is that Jesus gives us faith and Jesus gives us hope. And the next one I don't need to spend much time on. But Jesus continued to point to himself. You open any part of Scripture and you will see the story of the gospel. And so Jesus not only gives us faith and hope for the journey, but Jesus also points to himself. I wonder what he's going to do next. Well, we need to ask why. Why does he point to himself? Because Jesus' desire in his death and his resurrection, as we've already heard, is that we would have life, that we would believe, that we would become followers of him. In a world that is rapidly falling apart economically, environment-wise, with war and violence and terrorism and loss and stress, Jesus comes not only to give hope, but also to say that he is the answer. He is the answer to the longing of every human being. He is the answer to the deepest questions of our souls. He is the answer to the thing that is missing within our lives. And the risen Christ assures us that he himself will be with us, and that we can be victorious, and that we can be filled with joy, and that we can be filled with life. There's hope for us. There's hope for our children or our grandchildren. There's hope for our Muslim neighbors. Jesus says to his followers, "Peace be with you." They couldn't believe it. In fact, this is what we hear. "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and look at my feet. Touch if you have to." And they were afraid. And so Jesus continues to show himself over and over again, that they would have hope for the journey. I wonder what he's going to do next. Let me tell you. Jesus is going to go back to heaven. He's going to ascend, and he's going to sit at the right hand of the Father. He's going to pour out his Spirit. He's going to take those same men that were behind locked doors when Mary came, who were afraid. He's going to use men like Peter, and he's going to build a church that is going to go to every tribe, every nation, and every tongue, and he's going to build the kingdom of God, and men and women and children, young and old, rich and poor, are going to enter into the family of God. That's good news. Faith and hope. I'm going to point to myself. And here's where you fit into the story of Easter this morning. Jesus says, "Go and be my disciples." Matthew 28 says, "Go into the world and to preach and to teach everything I have commanded you until the very end of the age. To preach forgiveness and grace and mercy and love and victory in the midst of the storm." Now, how do I do it? I'll just give you a few examples. You and I can tell our story. I'm going to do a few sermons on this in a little while on evangelism and how we do it. But here's a simple thing you can do. You and I can tell the story of our faith. I'm not saying preach. I'm not saying try to explain all of the scriptures to people. But your story and my story is the witness of our faith. Many of you know I love to go to Starbucks. And I get often by the baristas, "Why are you so happy?" Just smiled the first time. The second time they said, "Well, why are you so happy?" And then they began to tell me their story. One girl's going through a hard time at home and has some health issues. The other young lady who I've been talking to, well, she's got some learning disabilities and some other things that go along with it. And they're beginning to tell me their story. And the next visit comes and nothing happens. And the next visit comes and I simply say, "Well, you know, I know this guy named Jesus." And you have those encounters every day. The question is, are we looking for them? Because you and I have the wonderful opportunity, if we look every day, to be able to tell the story of our faith. Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples. How exciting it would be if we look at what's happening in Richmond Hill and the vast area of immigration. And maybe we together as a church partner together and we do a ministry to immigrants. Maybe we consider doing a church plant. Maybe together you and I get involved in the new 360 kids building right there, right in front of us, the brand new building on Yonge Street. That working with troubled kids, and there's going to be some seniors moving in that building as well, and we engage. We just simply invest ourselves in the community. What if we were to invest ourselves in the Richmond Hill Hospice? What if we were to invest ourselves in some city organizations, work along with some of our city councilors and some of their projects, and simply allow the story of our faith to be lived out in the daily activities of our lives? That's the invitation this morning. The invitation of Easter is not only a relationship to live in Christ, but to live out of the joy of Christ. So my prayer this morning is that as we hear the story of the first hearers, that we would be reminded of Jesus and our faith and our hope would be encouraged. That as we open God's word, our lives would be pointed to him. And third, that together we would leave this morning with the most exciting story ever and to tell it with anyone who will listen. Amen. As we come into prayer this morning, we want to celebrate with Brad and Lika Holshoff. This past Tuesday, they were blessed with a healthy baby boy, 9 pounds, and I forget how many ounces, named Oliver Hendrick. So we want to give thanks with Brad and Lika. I don't think they're here this morning, but that God has blessed them with a healthy baby boy. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the story of Easter. We thank you not only that it is a true story, but we thank you that it is a story that has been transforming lives day in and day out. And we thank you that our lives are a picture of that story. And the way that we live, the way that we work, the things that we do, where we invest our lives, all gives witness to the story. So even in subtle ways, God, that we may not even realize, we are having a profound influence on the people around us. And we just pray that that story would resonate within us, would resonate within community church. And Lord, that the good news of the gospel of the risen Christ would profoundly transform our hearts and our lives. But Lord, also this community and ultimately the world. And that you would continue to bring men and women, young and old, rich and poor, unto yourself. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity in the variety of ministries that we at this church have, to the places that we serve in the community. We just pray that you would give us wisdom and diligence in living out our faith. Lord, we want to celebrate with Brad and Lika. Lord, we want to thank you for a healthy baby boy. We just pray that your hand would continue to be on this child, that even now the seeds of faith would be planted within his life, and that ultimately, Lord, there would be an expression of faith in Jesus, and that together with his parents, we would be able to nurture that faith. Lord, we thank you for the faith of Lois, Lord, as she continues to recover at the hospital. Lord, we just pray that her body would ultimately continue to be healed and strengthened. But Lord, we thank you for the richness of her faith. We thank you for her encouraging spirit, even as you visit her, her positive attitude. And we pray that you would use her there to be a witness for you. And as we go through the rest of today, Lord, maybe we're traveling, maybe we're visiting with friends and family, that the story, your story, would be shared around the tables, in our cars. Maybe we'd even share from our own lives what you are doing and how you are shaping us and molding us. And we pray that like the first hearers, that you would encourage our faith for the journey. And that as we turn to your word, we would proclaim the good news of the risen Christ. In your name we pray.
Amen.